that is filled to the brim with holidays and celebrations. In fact, there's a parody of a group that I like to follow that calls it May-cember. I have a feeling you know why. There's Mother's Day, and there's Memorial Day, there's Cinco de Mayo, and Armed Forces Day. There's National Nurses Day. You might have gone to a graduation or a wedding, a baby shower or a party. Now, I realize it's properly June 2nd today. I do know that. But there's one terribly, usually in May holiday that I couldn't let us pass by. 40 days after Easter, this year it fell on Thursday, May 30th, is Ascension Day that we commemorate on the Sunday closest. That's today, the day in which the church celebrates Jesus' ascension to heaven, and we await the coming of the power of the Holy Spirit to descend at Pentecost. And we're awaiting next week the confirmation of 7 young people. How exciting! 7 young people among us. And we give thanks to God as we'll gather next week to do. It was last December when Disney released the much anticipated sequel to the beloved Mary Poppins movie, the one from about 55 or so years ago. Can you remember that? 55 years ago, the original film was released. Perhaps you've just begun to hear in your own mind a little supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, or perhaps your favorite is Step in Time, could be, or a little chimmery. But Mary Poppins Returns was the one that just came out in December. And if you've not seen it, it has the little boy that we all love, Michael Banks, who grew up. And he's a recent widower. He lives with his 3 kids in the childhood home. And unfortunately, he's a bit more of an artist than he is an accountant. And he's about ready to lose that childhood home. And at just the right moment, the east wind brings in exactly who you're going to expect comes in, and it's Mary Poppins to restore what's most important in the family. Now I want to show you a clip. I promise I don't have too many spoilers if you've not gotten a chance to see it yet, but I want to show you a clip that's a little near the end to what the families learned to aspire to.
A balloon that tumbles or rises depending on what is inside. Fill it with hope and playful surprises. And now, dearie ducks, then you're in for a ride. Look inside the balloon, and if you hear a tune, there's nowhere to go but out.
May we have limbs?
Yes, of course we can. Let's go.
Choose the secret we know before life makes us grow. There's nowhere to go but up.
Hello, we would like some of your very finest balloons, please.
That you shall have. But choose carefully, my dearie ducks. Many have chosen the wrong balloon. Be sure to choose the one that's right for you.
Which balloon would you like, Georgie?
Why don't you go first, sir?
Me? Those days are long behind me. I don't think I've held a balloon since I was a child.
Then you've forgotten what it's like.
To hold a balloon?
To be a child. If your selection feels right, well then, dearie, hold tight. If you see your reflection, your heart will take flight. If you pick the right string, then your heart will take wing, and there's nowhere to go but up.
like that boy with a shiny new toy, and there's nowhere to go but up.
Michael!
Just one day at the fair has me waltzing on air, and there's nowhere to go but up. Jane, I remember. It's all true. Every impossible thing we imagined with Mary Poppins, it all happened. Now my heart is so light that I think I just might start feeding the birds and then go fly a kite. With your head in a cloud, only laughter's allowed, and there's nowhere to go but up.
The whole thing, if I've tempted you in any way, nowhere to go but up, singing in a static vision as only Disney can capture, a moving image. The whole scene portrays Michael and the family and the community. If I would have shown you the whole thing at the park, celebrating, lifted by balloons, their imaginations, and ultimately, I'll commend to you theological imaginations around rising in power. In both Mary Poppins movies, Mary comes to teach the families about caring about and loving one another, you might recall, and she leaves by ascending when the family begins to uncover their own understanding. They're aspiring to live a life together after their own grief, particularly in this second one. As we keep our own eyes on Jesus, we too aspire to live a life like Jesus. We let our own theological imaginations have a little room as well. Our creeds guide us here as well. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Ascension, theologically, is less about Jesus as Christ lifted beyond the moon, the stars, Mars, Jupiter. It is more about Jesus rising in power. Jesus' power visible to us and known in symbols like the clouds. So then, clouds known as symbols of the presence of God. Think with me for just a moment about the pillar of cloud and fire that stay with the children of Israel in the desert, then in the Old Testament. Or the cloud and smoke that fills the temple when God becomes present in a new way. Jesus has gone into God's dimension and will return more fully in the future. God's kingdom is both here and now, as well as then and there. Our story today begins in Luke and continues into Acts. Luke acts as one book with one author who is recording the life of Jesus and the work of the early church. The author even takes time to paint for us an image of those disciples looking up at the sky, and we can almost imagine them a little agog with their mouths open wide as Jesus ascends. The traditional site of Jesus' ascension as the Mount of Olives, with about 2,500 feet above sea level at its highest peak. Prior to being lifted up in the clouds, Jesus leads his followers up the mountain, and they're probably about as close to him as anyone has ever been. And yet, Jesus still manages to surprise them. And Jesus surprises them at every turn. His teachings surprise him. You want us to give up everything and follow you? The disciples were surprised when he talked about his own death. How could your kingdom be coming? They were sure that his crucifixion couldn't be the way in which it ended. It had all gone somehow terribly wrong. Jesus surprises them at every turn. The women who had followed along chose to accept that if Jesus had died, then their role was to anoint his body. They went and did their job, and when they found there was no body, Jesus, who had risen from the grave, he was alive, had surprised them. Again, Jesus surprises at every turn. So the women who went to share the good news of the resurrection with joy and amazement with the disciples, their encounter with Jesus was life-changing. But the disciples needed to experience it for themselves, just like we need to experience it for ourselves. You see, Jesus surprises at every turn. And it was in those 40 days that they couldn't remember or understand the scriptures that had been taught and expounded to them. So Jesus walked among them, opened their mind, and helped them along. Because Jesus surprises at every turn. So one morning, as they got up and walked up to the mountainside, or what they imagined would be another morning of teaching, and Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would be coming, Jesus ascends into the air because Jesus surprises at every turn. And then it felt like the disciples were on their own. But they were not. Because Jesus surprises at every turn. Just like us, Jesus trusted them to discern and allowed them to lean on Jesus well, care for the world, and promise the Holy Spirit was yet coming. We too are trusted not necessarily because of who we are, but because of who God is. To aspire is to direct one's hopes. On this Ascension Sunday, we are reminded that we aspire to live like Jesus. We direct our hopes to Jesus. So as we come to the communion table, we aspire. As we receive our feasibility study this morning, we aspire. As we walk with those who are graduating, we aspire. As we pray for those who are ill, we aspire. As we celebrate with those in each stage of life, we aspire. We direct our hopes to Jesus. There's nowhere to go but up. Like those first disciples, we bless God through praise. We keep our eyes on Jesus, aspiring with hope as we wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then, my friends, there's one thing left to do. We get about the work that God has called us to do. This, my friends, is the gospel. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.